Welcome to The Deep Dive, the place where we sift through stacks of sources, articles, research our own notes, and really try to pull out the most important nuggets of knowledge. We serve them up, hopefully, with just enough, you know, context and maybe a little humor to keep you hooked. Today, we're diving headfirst into a story of, well, profound transformation, a true metamorphosis, really, unfolding right before our eyes in the tech world. Imagine a company that's been like a quiet giant, an indispensable backbone of the internet for decades, suddenly deciding to completely reinvent itself. It's kind of like watching a caterpillar, you know, stable and successful, sure, but then embarking on this really ambitious journey to become something entirely new, a butterfly in the hyperspeed, high-stakes world of technology. Our focus today is Akamai Technologies, Inc., ticker symbol ACAM. For, gosh, over two decades, Akamai was basically synonymous with keeping the internet running smoothly. They were that invisible force, making sure your video streamed okay, your websites loaded instantly, your gaming sessions were seamless, no matter where you were. They were, in essence, the original content delivery network people, the CDNs. But as you definitely know, the tech landscape doesn't just evolve. It, like, leaps. The internet has shifted dramatically, and with it, the digital needs of businesses and, well, users like you and me. So our mission for you in this deep dive is to give you a real shortcut to understanding Akamai's strategic evolution. We're going to unpack the critical question facing this company right now. Can its burgeoning, high-growth, higher-margin security and cloud computing segments truly grow fast enough and generate enough revenue to more than offset the inevitable decline in its traditional content delivery business? We'll dissect their ambitious pivot, reveal their truly unique assets, explore the intense competitive battlegrounds they navigate every single day, and, of course, pinpoint the key financial signals you, our informed listeners, should be watching closely. Get ready for some surprising facts and hopefully more than a few aha moments that will leave you well-informed. Let's dig in.
Yeah, and what's absolutely fascinating here is that Akamai's strategic evolution isn't some, you know, distant future plan on a whiteboard or just an aspiration mentioned on an earnings call. It's a present reality. It's happening right now, fundamentally reshaping the company's entire identity, its financial profile. The core investment thesis truly centers on this pivotal question. Whether their new high-growth businesses, specifically in security and cloud computing, can not just compensate for, but more than compensate for the shrinking legacy content delivery arm. And it's not just about growth, it's about accelerated growth in these new areas, set against a backdrop of, well, contraction in their historical stronghold.
Okay, so help me visualize this. And we're talking about a pretty significant shift then, right? What do the numbers actually tell us about this transformation in their revenue?
Oh, the numbers don't just tell a story. They kind of shout it from the rooftops. For the full fiscal year 2024, Akamai's security and compute segments weren't just growing. They were like leading the charge. They collectively made up a staggering 67% of total company revenue. That's a massive leap from just 44% back in 2020.
Wow, 67%.
Yeah. And here's the real kicker. They grew at a robust 18% year over year. Think about that. For decades, Akamai was the internet's invisible backbone, right? The silent force. But in 2024, for the very first time, something else took the crown. Their security business, combined with their still relatively new cloud compute efforts, now represents the lion's share of their revenue. This isn't just a pivot, it's a seismic shift. It proves Akamai is no longer just making the internet fast. Now they're making it safe and smart, and that's where the real money and the future seems to be flowing. It's like a 25-year-old company finally figuring out its true calling.
That's a powerful image. And I guess that transformation looks even more stark when you compare it to the legacy delivery segment, that original business.
Absolutely. When you contrast that 18% growth with the delivery segment, the picture becomes incredibly clear. That segment actually contracted by a steep 15% over the same period.
15% drop. Ouch.
Yeah, it's significant. This isn't just a slight rebalancing of the portfolio. It's a profound reorientation of the company's entire revenue stream. It clearly demonstrates Akamai is no longer primarily a CDN company. They've successfully engineered a huge portion of their business to pivot towards these higher growth, hopefully higher margin areas, even as their foundational business shrinks.
So we're essentially looking at two distinct narratives playing out at the same time within Akamai. On one side, you've got this declining, but, and it sounds crucial, highly cash generative legacy business. That sounds like the classic cash cow, doesn't it? Not growing, but still making good money.
Precisely. It's the engine that's funding the future, essentially. And on the other side, you have this really aggressive expansion into the higher growth frontiers of cybersecurity and distributed cloud computing. Mm. That's where all the investment is happening, where the big acquisitions are landing, and where the future revenue growth is expected. It's what some call a strategic barbell model.
Ah, the barbell. Okay.
Right. The mature, declining, but incredibly profitable delivery business on one end is actively funding the scaling of the high-growth security and compute businesses on the other. That capital is literally being harvested from the legacy business and redeployed. It's a calculated risk, for sure, but one they clearly believe is essential for their long-term survival and growth.
Okay, that makes sense. But it also brings us to what sounds like an incredibly complex competitive landscape. It's not just one battlefront, is it? It sounds like a dual-faceted war they're fighting. In their traditional markets, Akamai is up against nimble developer-focused rivals like Cloudflare and Fastly. These guys have really shaken things up, haven't they?
They absolutely have. They came in with different approaches, different techs sometimes. But the challenge in their designated growth market security and compute is arguably even bigger. There, they're facing the formidable scale and ecosystem dominance of the cloud hyperscalers.
AWS, Azure, Google Cloud, the giants.
Exactly. Technological giants with seemingly limitless resources. Akamai's strategic response, though, isn't to try and compete head-on. I mean, that would be incredibly difficult, maybe impossible. Instead, they're leveraging their most unique and durable asset, that massively distributed global network. This is absolutely key to how they aim to carve out a valuable and hopefully defensible niche. They're trying to offer something different, more cost-effective, maybe lower latency, and architecturally decentralized compared to the big guys.
That's a really interesting angle. So looking at their financial profile then, how does this company in transition actually look? Are they drowning in debt from all these acquisitions, or is the footing pretty solid?
It's actually a balanced picture and surprisingly robust given the scale of the shift. Their strong free cash flow, largely generated from that mature delivery business we just talked about, provides the financial firepower for what has definitely been an aggressive acquisition-led growth strategy. That cash is the fuel for their transformation. Now, this approach has led to a moderately leveraged balance sheet. They've taken on some debt, yes, to fund these big strategic moves like Linode and Guardicore. However, this has also equipped the company with market-leading technologies in critical growth areas, which is the whole point of the exercise. Their valuation right now really reflects this in-between state. It seems modest compared to, say, pure-play, high-growth tech darlings, but it's still at a premium over traditional slower-growth firms. The market, you could say, is still trying to figure out exactly where Akamai fits, caught between its past and its very ambitious future.
Okay, so what does this all boil down to for someone looking at Akamai? What are the biggest opportunities? And just as importantly, what are the major risks? Let's get that balanced view.
Sure. On the opportunity side, number one has to be the successful integration of their key acquisitions. If they can truly weave Linode, Guardicore, and now No Name Security into a cohesive, seamless platform that creates significant value, a powerful, unified offering. Continued rapid expansion of the security and compute segments is obviously critical. And as that revenue mix shifts more and more towards these higher margin services, there's clear potential for overall margin expansion down the line. That's the hope anyway.
Makes sense. But what about the downsides, the risks?
Oh, the risks are substantial. We can't sugarcoat it. There's the immense challenge of just strategic execution. Pivoting a company of Akamai's size and history, it's incredibly difficult. Someone described it like changing the engines on an airplane mid-flight.
Yeah, that paints a picture.
Then there's the relentless competitive pressure, especially from the hyperscalers in those growth markets. They have, you know, almost infinite resources. And finally, that inherent customer concentration in the declining delivery segment. That's a major vulnerability. We saw this really starkly in 2024, remember?
The TikTok example, right?
Exactly. Widely believed to be TikTok. A single large social media customer optimized its traffic, and boom, a $40 to $60 million revenue headwind for Akamai. That really underscores the precariousness of that legacy business. One customer's decision can have a really material impact.
Yeah, that definitely brings it home. It's not just theory. It's real dollars. Okay, let's move on to the Akamai Connected Cloud. It sounds like the absolute foundation of their whole strategy. Is it more than just marketing speak? It feels like the nerve center of this whole transformation.
It's definitely more than just a buzzword. It's the core physical and logical asset underpinning their entire pivot. You could call it the infrastructure of their butterfly transformation, maybe. Akamai describes it as the world's most distributed platform for cloud computing, security, and content delivery. And the scale is genuinely impressive. We're talking more than 4,100 edge points of presence POPs. Think of them as mini data centers or server hubs.
40,100. Wow.
Yeah, spread across roughly 130 countries and over 700 cities. This gives them incredible visibility into global internet traffic, congestion, cyber threats, you name it. This vast distributed network, built meticulously over 20-plus years, is the bedrock of Akamai's competitive differentiation. It's the critical enabler of their strategic shift from just CDN to a diversified cloud and security company. Nobody else really has this kind of footprint, so deeply embedded in the internet itself.
Okay, so let's unpack the three pillars that make up this connected cloud, starting with what you call the new engine of growth, security. This seems to be where a lot of the excitement and, frankly, the money is.
The security segment, yeah, it truly represents the most successful outcome so far of Akamai's diversification strategy, and it is absolutely the primary driver of their growth now. In a really pivotal milestone, security became the company's largest revenue contributor for the first time in fiscal year 2024. It generated over $2.04 billion. Over $2 billion. And that was up a significant 16% year over year. This achievement really confirms their successful business transition into cybersecurity. Their security portfolio is pretty comprehensive now, designed to protect enterprises from a whole range of threats at the edge, in the cloud, even inside the corporate network.
And what is that portfolio actually include? When we talk about protecting at the edge or inside the network, what kinds of problems are they solving for businesses day to day?
Okay, it breaks down into several key areas. First, there's application and API protection. This is kind of Akamai's traditional security stronghold, leveraging that massive edge network. It includes services like a web application firewall, a WAF, which is like a bouncer for your website, blocking bad traffic.
Yep.
They also have sophisticated bot management, stopping credential abuse, you know, where bots try to steal usernames and passwords, and large-scale DDoS mitigation, distributed denial of service, stopping those huge attacks designed to knock websites offline.
Okay, standard but critical stuff. What else?
Second, they've moved heavily into zero-trust security. This is a huge part of modern enterprise security. This was significantly boosted by the Guardicore acquisition back in 2021.
Guardicore, yeah.
Guardicore brought in something called micro-segmentation. Now, imagine your company's network isn't just one big open office where anyone can go anywhere.
Okay.
With micro-segmentation, it's more like a series of tiny, individually locked rooms. If a hacker gets into one room, micro-segmentation ensures they're walled off. They can't easily spread nasty stuff like ransomware throughout your entire network.
So it contains the breach.
Exactly. It prevents that lateral movement. It's a complete game changer compared to old school firewalls that were often pretty leaky. This suite also includes ZTNA Zero Trust Network Access, which is basically the modern replacement for VPNs and MFA, multi-factor authentication, which most people use every day now.
Got it. And the third area?
The third area is API security. Akamai has invested aggressively here, recognizing that APIs, those digital doorways letting different software talk to each other, have become a primary target for attackers. It's a huge growth area for threats. This segment was really beefed up by acquiring Neosec in 2023 and then Noname Security just this year, 2024. Their focus here is on discovering, auditing, and protecting all those enterprise APIs from being compromised or leaking data. Think of it as securing the new digital front doors of businesses, which are often left wide open, unfortunately.
Okay, so if security is the engine pulling Akamai forward now, then their most ambitious bet, the one that really pits them against the titans of tech, must be this second pillar, compute. This is where the butterfly metaphor really seems to take flight. Tell us about this high-growth challenger.
It certainly is their most ambitious play, yeah. The compute segment represents Akamai's biggest strategic initiative because it's a direct challenge, in a way, to the established dominance of the hyperscalers AWS, Azure, Google Cloud. This business line is built on the foundation of that big $900 million acquisition of Linode back in 2022.
Linode, right? Known for being developer-friendly.
Exactly. And in fiscal year 2024, the compute segment generated $630 million in revenue. It's showing strong momentum, 25% year-over-year growth. Now, Akamai's strategy here isn't to try and replicate the, you know, exhaustive service catalogs of AWS or Azure. That would be a losing battle from the start. Instead, they're competing on a differentiated value proposition that uniquely leverages their existing, unparalleled network architecture.
So how exactly do they differentiate from the likes of AWS or Azure, who just have this incredible scale advantage. What's the secret sauce there?
Well, their core thesis is built on a distributed architecture. They aim to bring compute capabilities physically closer to end users and data sources than pretty much anyone else. This distributed model is specifically designed to serve the growing demand for incredibly low latency applications. Think things like AI inference, where the AI model makes predictions in real time, or IoT, or high stakes online gaming.
Things that need speed.
Exactly. Things where milliseconds matter. These applications often aren't well served by the centralized data center models of traditional cloud providers, which might be hundreds or thousands of miles away from the actual user. The second major differentiator is predictable and lower cost egress. This is a direct attack on one of the biggest pain points for hyperscaler customers, those notoriously high and often unpredictable data egress fees.
Ah, the cost of getting your data out.
Precisely. It can be a killer. Akamai, with its unique network setup, can offer a simpler pricing model with significantly discounted data transfer rates. This presents a really compelling economic argument, especially for data-intensive workloads. Their service portfolio includes the basics infrastructure as a service, or IaaS, offerings virtual machines, object storage, managed databases, all built on Linode's well-regarded, developer-friendly platform. It's fundamentally about bringing the cloud to the edge, not just having the edge connect back to a distant cloud.
And then we have pillar number three, delivery. The legacy cash cow, as you called it. Akamai's original business, its roots. But clearly facing some serious headwinds now. How steep is that decline we talked about?
That's right. The delivery segment, I mean, it's still a market leader in high-volume media delivery and web app acceleration for the world's biggest companies, but it is facing significant, what we call, secular headwinds.
Secular headwinds, like a fundamental tide going out.
Exactly. It's a long-term shift in the industry, not just a temporary dip. It makes it really hard to swim against. Revenue for this segment in fiscal year 2024 was $1.32 billion, and that represented that steep 15% decline year over year we mentioned.
15%. Okay. And why is that happening?
It's due to a few factors hitting all at once. There's industry-wide pricing compression. Everyone's paying less for basic delivery. There's slowing traffic growth in some key areas like gaming. And maybe most notably, there's the trend of very large customers, sometimes called do-it-yourselfers, building their own CDN infrastructure instead of using providers like Akamai.
The big guys deciding they can do it cheaper themselves.
Exactly. If you're big enough, you might have the resources and the scale to do that, and that takes a chunk out of Akamai's traditional market.
So if it's declining like that, why is it still so crucial to Akamai's overall strategy? Why not just, you know, spin it off or manage it for decline?
That's a really crucial question. Despite its contracting revenue, the delivery segment plays an absolutely vital strategic role. For one, it's incredibly profitable. It serves as a crucial, stable source of free cash flow. This cash flow effectively funds the investments and the strategic acquisitions needed to scale up the security and compute businesses. It's literally the fuel for their entire transformation. Plus, Akamai's long-standing relationships with a blue-chip enterprise customer base from the delivery side provide really fertile ground for cross-selling their newer security and compute solutions. These are trusted, multi-year relationships they can leverage.
Right. They already have their foot in the door.
Precisely. And the segment's core services, like adaptive media delivery for video streaming and ION for web performance, are still considered best in class. They're just operating in a tougher, shrinking market.
That makes perfect sense, leveraging those existing relationships. Okay, let's talk a bit more about their customer profile and revenue structure. Who exactly are they serving with this barbell strategy?
Akamai's business model is really characterized by its focus on large global enterprise customers. This is a key difference from competitors like Cloudflare, which serves a much larger volume of smaller clients, often through a freemium model initially. This enterprise focus for Akamai means high-value, multi-year contracts. That provides a significant degree of recurring and predictable revenue, which investors like. However, this model isn't without risk. That reliance on a smaller number of very large customers, especially in the delivery segment, creates a material customer concentration risk.
Which brings us back to the TikTok example again.
Exactly. It's the perfect illustration. As we discussed, that vulnerability was starkly shown in 2024 when Akamai announced that $40 to $60 million revenue headwind for the year, all because one large social media customer optimized its traffic to reduce its spend. It really highlights the precariousness of that legacy business and underscores why diversification is so strategically vital for them. So their current business model can really be viewed as that strategic barbell we talked about. On one end, the mature, declining, but highly profitable and cash-generating delivery business. On the other, the high-growth, but still scaling, security and compute businesses. The financial data clearly shows delivery revenue falling, while security and compute revenue is rising rapidly. Management has confirmed delivery remains highly profitable, and its capital spending has been cut way back, freeing up cash. That capital is precisely what's being deployed into those large strategic acquisitions, Linode, Guardicore, and No Name Security, to build out the growth segments. So the ultimate success of Akamai's transformation, and really the core of the whole investment thesis, hinges on the rate of change.
The central question remains, can the growth from security and compute outpace the decline in delivery before that legacy cash flow stream diminishes too much, before it can no longer support the level of investment needed? It's a real high-stakes race against time and market forces.
It certainly sounds like a race. And this really reinforces the idea that Akamai is fighting a multi-front war. Let's talk about these battlegrounds specifically. They're not just in one fight. They're in three distinct arenas.
Exactly right. Akamai operates at the intersection of three large and dynamic tech markets: content delivery networks, CDNs, cybersecurity, and cloud edge computing. Each market has its own distinct characteristics, its own growth drivers, its own competitive dynamics. It forces Akamai to fight this multi-front war against a really diverse set of competitors, which makes their strategic execution, frankly, even more critical and impressive if they pull it off.
Okay, let's delve into each of these market dynamics. What's actually happening in each of these worlds? Give us the state of play.
Okay, first, the CDN market, Akamai's traditional home turf. While it's mature, it actually continues to show healthy growth. It's projected to reach roughly $25 billion by the end of the decade, growing at a pretty robust compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, somewhere between 17% and 23%. This growth is fueled by the relentless surge of internet traffic, driven primarily by video streaming that accounted for over half, 53%, of internet bandwidth back in 2022. Plus, online gaming, e-commerce, mobile use, it all adds up. However, it's also marked by intense competition and significant pricing pressure, especially for that commodity bandwidth delivery. And that, as we discussed, is a key reason for the decline in Akamai's own delivery segment revenue. It's harder to make money on the basics.
Right, commoditization. Okay, what about cybersecurity?
Second, the cybersecurity market. This is just massive and structurally growing, driven by the, frankly, ceaseless increase in the frequency and sophistication of cyber threats. It's estimated to be worth around $193 billion in 2024 alone.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's forecasted to grow at a strong CAGR of about 14%. Key drivers. Well, the accelerated move of enterprise workloads to the cloud, the expansion of a corporate attack surface, think IoT devices, remote work, and the increasing need for advanced security against new threats like ransomware and those API attacks we mentioned. Akamai's expansion here positions it well to capture a share of this durable, high-priority IT spending. Security budgets tend to be pretty resilient.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And the third area, edge and cloud computing, the newest frontier.
And third, yes, the edge and cloud computing market. This represents the most nascent or newest and potentially highest growth opportunity for Akamai. Market size estimates vary quite a bit because it's still emerging, but forecasts project a staggering CAGR anywhere from 13% to as high as 38% from a 2024 base that's estimated somewhere between $13 billion and $60 billion. It's a wide range, but the direction is clear up fast. The main catalyst for this explosive growth is the proliferation of next-gen applications. Things like 5G-enabled services, industrial IoT, autonomous vehicles, real-time AML inference. These all need data processing to happen with minimal latency physically close to the user or device. And the centralized architecture of the traditional cloud providers. It's just ill-suited for many of these demanding workloads. This creates a significant market opportunity for distributed edge computing platforms, exactly like the one Akamai is building.
So with all these different battlegrounds, where does Akamai's competitive moat lie? What's their sustainable advantage that kind of sets them apart in these fights?
That's the key question, right? The moat. An economic moat refers to a sustainable competitive advantage that protects a company's long-term profits. Akamai's primary and arguably most durable moat is its unparalleled globally distributed network infrastructure. This physical platform, built meticulously over two decades plus, consists of thousands of servers embedded within over 1,200 internet service provider networks worldwide. Think about that inside the ISPs. This represents a formidable barrier to entry, the sheer capital investment, the complex network peering agreements needed, the deep operational expertise required. It's incredibly hard to replicate. This network allows Akamai to deliver content and, increasingly, run compute workloads closer to end users than any other provider. It's a fundamental architectural advantage for applications where performance and low latency are absolutely critical. It's about placing the brains closer to the action, literally.
That sounds incredibly powerful, the physical network. Mm. But is the moat completely impenetrable? Are there threats emerging?
It's definitely not impenetrable. No moat in tech really is, right? The cloud hyperscalers are investing billions to expand their own global network footprints. They're still generally in fewer larger locations than Akamai's thousands of POPs, but they're expanding. And newer competitors like Cloudflare have built highly efficient networks based on a different architecture called Anycast. This can challenge Akamai's traditional model, particularly on cost and ease of use for certain types of web traffic or smaller customers. So while Akamai's moat remains a significant asset, especially for those high-performance, large-scale enterprise use cases, its long-term defensibility really depends on their ability to keep innovating on top of that physical infrastructure. They need to truly activate that network for next-gen computing, not just delivery.
Okay, so let's break down the competitive analysis a bit more. How does Akamai actually stack up against its direct CDN and edge competitors like Cloudflare and Fastly? It feels like Cloudflare gets a lot of the buzz these days.
It's definitely a nuanced picture, and yeah, Cloudflare gets a lot of headlines. While Cloudflare dominates in terms of the sheer number of websites it serves, they have something like 80.7% market share of known reverse proxy services versus Akamai's 3.4%.
80%? That's huge.
It is. By website count. But Akamai's position is far stronger at the high end of the market. If you look at the world's top 1,000 highest traffic websites, Akamai's market share jumps to 22.2%, while Cloudflare has about 59.8%. This clearly illustrates Akamai's entrenchment with those large, demanding enterprise customers, while Cloudflare has very successfully captured the broader market, including lots of small and medium-sized businesses, often through that freemium entry point.
Interesting distinction.
Yeah.
Technologically, how do they position themselves?
Technologically, Akamai is the established incumbent. They're known for reliability, performance at massive scale. Fastly has carved out a niche with developers who really value its high degree of configurability, its API-first architecture, and its near-instant cache purging capabilities. Cloudflare, meanwhile, has truly disrupted the market with its integrated security offerings, its focus on ease of use, and that powerful freemium business model, which creates a massive funnel for its paid services. So it's really a fight for different segments and different priorities within the market, with Akamai holding strong with the really big enterprise giants who need that proven scale and reliability.
Okay, that CDN fight sounds complex enough. But the most significant long-term threat you mentioned earlier comes from the hyperscalers. How on earth is Akamai counteracting that immense force? It seems like an almost impossible task on the surface.
That's right. AWS, Azure, Google Cloud, they collectively own nearly two-thirds of the global cloud market. They can bundle CDN and security services with their core IS and PaaS offerings, creating really powerful customer lock-in and aggressive pricing leverage. It's tough. Akamai cannot, and frankly is not trying to, compete with the hyperscalers on their own terms. That would be foolish. Instead, it's executing a differentiated counteroffensive embodied by that Akamai Connected Cloud concept, which aims to provide a credible alternative based on three key pillars.
Okay, what are those pillars? How are they fighting back differently?
First, a more distributed footprint. Akamai is leveraging those 4,100 plus edge locations to offer compute and security services in hundreds of locations where the hyperscalers simply have no physical presence. This enables that new class of low latency applications that just can't function optimally on centralized clouds. Second, cost efficiency. The company is explicitly targeting those high and often unpredictable data egress fees charged by hyperscalers. By offering a simpler, more predictable pricing model, Akamai believes it can deliver significant cost savings for data-intensive workloads.
The egress fees, yeah, I hear about those a lot.
It's a major pain point. And as a powerful proof point, Akamai's own internal migration off hyperscalers, which they codenamed Project Ceres, reportedly saved the company over $100 million in annual operating expenses. They literally ate their own dog food and proved the value proposition on themselves.
That's a strong selling point. $100 million saved.
Definitely. And third, neutrality. Akamai positions itself as a neutral infrastructure partner, one that doesn't compete with its customers' core businesses. This is subtle but important, especially for large retail, media, or tech companies that might be wary of relying on a direct competitor, like Amazon, for a retailer, for their critical infrastructure.
Right, the frenemy aspect. So it's not just a pivot in services. It sounds like a strategic replatforming of the internet's edge itself. Akamai seems to be betting on a very specific future for cloud computing, almost taking a philosophical stance.
Precisely. That's a great way to put it. Their overarching strategy is to repurpose their greatest asset, that massively distributed network, as their primary weapon in the cloud wars. The rise of AI, IoT, real-time apps. It's creating a new performance bottleneck where computation needs to happen closer to the user to minimize latency. The centralized architecture of the hyperscalers, built around relatively few massive regional data centers, just isn't optimized for this shift. Akamai's network, by its very nature, is massively decentralized. The Linode acquisition gave them the necessary software stack for cloud computing. And the Gecko initiative is the big strategic project to deploy this compute stack across Akamai's vast existing edge network. In essence, Akamai is betting that the future of the cloud is not centralized, but distributed. If this architectural thesis proves correct, their legacy network transforms from a mature asset in a declining market into a unique and defensible platform for the next generation of applications. This completely reframes the entire investment thesis from just a business model pivot to a strategic replatforming of the internet's edge, positioning them, they hope, to ride the next major wave of internet evolution.
That's a huge bet, a really fundamental bet on where the internet is going. And it makes understanding their financials even more critical. Let's turn our attention there now. How do the numbers actually reflect this profound ongoing transformation?
Yeah, an analysis of Akamai's financial performance over, say, the past 5 years clearly reveals a company in the midst of this profound and deliberate transformation. The top line, the bottom line trends, they all reflect this strategic shift away from legacy delivery toward higher growth security and compute. This transition impacts everything. Revenue growth, profitability margins, capital structure. It really paints a picture of a mature company that's investing heavily, sometimes at the expense of short-term margins, to secure its future growth. It's definitely not a straight line up on the charts. It's more of a zigzag of strategic investment and change.
And when we look at that revenue shift specifically, you said earlier the numbers speak loudly. Let's dive back into those details a bit more.
They absolutely do. If we look at 2024 again, security and compute revenue combined for that $2.673 billion figure, that represented 67% of total revenue. 67%. That's a dramatic jump from just 44% back in 2020. This growth has been fueled by both organic development, building things internally, and those strategic acquisitions like Linode. Over the same period, delivery revenue starkly declined from 56% of the total in 2020 to just 33% in 2024.
From 56 down to 33, that's stark.
It really is. Despite this massive internal shift, the business remains pretty well diversified geographically. International revenue consistently contributes around 48% of the total, which underscores the truly global scale of their operations. That hasn't changed much.
Okay, so revenue mix is shifting dramatically.
Yeah.
What about profitability? Has this shift, with all the investment in acquisitions and building out cloud infrastructure, had an impact on their margins? Is that the trade-off?
It has, and it's definitely a key point for the bear case against the stock. The margin trend does reflect the financial pressures inherent in this strategic transition. Both GAAP generally accepted accounting principles and non-GAAP operating margins have seen some compression over the past few years. This is entirely consistent with that bear argument that the company is facing increased capital expenditure, integration costs from acquisitions, and the costs of aggressively building out its cloud computing infrastructure. For fiscal year 2024, the GAAP operating margin was 13.4%, while the non-GAAP operating margin, which is a key metric management tracks and often highlights, was 29.0%.
29% non-GAAP. Still pretty healthy, but down a bit.
Still healthy, yes, but it has compressed somewhat. While the newer security and compute businesses are expected to carry higher long-term margins once they achieve scale, the initial investment phase and the simultaneous decline of the highly profitable legacy delivery business are currently weighing on overall profitability. It really is like building a new, more efficient factory while your old, profitable one is slowly winding down. There's naturally a period of lower overall efficiency during that transition.
But despite those margin pressures, Akamai is generally known as a cash flow powerhouse. How does that picture look? And critically, how are they actually using that cash?
Yeah, despite the margin pressures, Akamai remains a really robust generator of cash flow. That's a key financial strength for them. For the trailing 12-month period, the company generated $1.42 billion in cash from operations. After accounting for capital expenditures, that resulted in a substantial $841 million of free cash flow, or FCF.
Nearly a billion in free cash flow.
Right.
And this strong free cash flow profile is absolutely critical. It provides the necessary capital to fund their aggressive acquisition strategy and their share repurchase programs without needing excessive reliance on external financing. That gives them a huge advantage, allowing them to essentially fund their own transformation internally. Now, looking at the balance sheet, it reveals a company that has strategically used leverage to help finance this transformation. As of the most recent data, Akamai held about $1.32 billion in cash against $4.62 billion in total debt. That results in a net debt position of around $3.27 billion.
Okay, so carrying some debt.
Carrying some debt. This corresponds to a debt-to-equity ratio of roughly 1.01. Now, while this level of leverage is moderate, and it certainly appears manageable given their strong and consistent free cash flow generation, it is a direct consequence of that capital-intensive acquisition strategy. And importantly, to maintain their technological edge in these fast-moving security and cloud markets, Akamai consistently invests in research and development. R&D spending has stayed pretty consistently in the range of 10.7% to 11.8% of revenue in recent years. That's a necessary investment to drive innovation and compete effectively. It shows they're not just buying growth, they're also trying to build it.
That strong cash flow definitely seems to give them flexibility. Let's talk more now about these growth opportunities and strategic initiatives that are supposed to drive their future. How are they actually leveraging those core assets like the network for this ambitious growth plan?
Well, Akamai's future growth is fundamentally contingent upon successfully executing several key strategic initiatives. They're all designed to capitalize on those big secular trends in cloud, in security, and the continued demand for high-performance digital experiences. These initiatives really center on leveraging that core network asset to expand into adjacent, higher growth markets. It's driven by a combination of organic innovation, building new things, and those strategic acquisitions we've discussed. They're essentially retooling their immense, globally distributed infrastructure for new, potentially more valuable purposes. The company's most significant growth opportunity, arguably, lies in that bold move into cloud computing. Their stated goal is ambitious, to become the world's most distributed cloud platform. Uniquely positioned, they argue, to place compute, storage, and database services closer to end users than any competitor.
Most distributed. Okay, how are they doing that?
It's really a two-pronged approach. First, there's core data center expansion. They're aggressively building out their global footprint of core enterprise-scale data centers, expanding from the original 11 sites they got with Linode to 41 locations globally now. Second, and this is really the key differentiator, is generalized edge compute, internally codenamed Gecko. This project involves embedding generalized cloud computing capabilities, including support for virtual machines, the standard building block of cloud directly into Akamai's existing massively distributed edge network, those 4,100 plus POPs. The plan is ambitious. Deploy these capabilities in 100 cities by the end of this year, with a specific focus on locations that are currently underserved by the major hyperscalers. This strategy directly addresses the architectural limitations of centralized clouds for those emerging low-latency workloads. We keep talking about AI inferencing, multiplayer gaming, real-time data analytics, media processing. It's about bringing the cloud to the metaphorical street corner, not just keeping it in the big regional hubs.
That's a very clear roadmap for the cloud side. What about security? How are they planning to capitalize on their existing huge customer base to expand that side of the business, that cross-selling opportunity?
Yeah, Akamai's large and deeply entrenched enterprise customer base, cultivated over decades through the delivery business, represents a really significant and relatively captive audience for its expanding security portfolio. They've already built trust. They have the relationships. The company's growth strategy in security is focused on two key motions. Firstly, transitioning to platform sales. Akamai is actively moving away from selling individual point solutions, just a WAF here, just bot management there. Instead, they're promoting integrated security platforms. A prime example is the Akamai GuardaCore platform, which combines micro-segmentation, ZTNA, MFA, and other tools into a single cohesive offering. This approach aligns really well with a strong trend among enterprise customers who are looking to consolidate their security vendors. They want fewer vendors to manage, not more, to reduce complexity and improve integration.
Makes sense. Less complexity and the second motion.
Secondly, they're embracing a channel-first model.
To accelerate market penetration, especially for their more complex security solutions like Guardicore, Akamai is increasingly leveraging a channel-first go-to-market strategy. By partnering with global system integrators and value-added resellers, think big names like Deloitte Akamai can bundle its technology with specialized implementation and managed services. This expands their reach into enterprise accounts much more effectively than they could with just their direct sales force alone. It's a force multiplier for their sales efforts.
So bringing it back to the acquisitions we mentioned earlier, Linode, Guardicore, Neosec, no name, you're saying these weren't just opportunistic grabs. They were very deliberate, strategic moves to actually build out this comprehensive platform. It sounds incredibly intentional.
Exactly. Akamai's acquisition strategy has really been the primary engine driving its transformation. These were not disparate, opportunistic purchases. They were a series of deliberate, strategic moves designed to assemble the necessary technological components for this comprehensive, integrated platform vision. Linode, $900 million in 2022, was absolutely foundational for the compute strategy. It provided a proven IaaS platform, a strong developer-focused culture, and the core tech needed to deploy across Akamai's network. Guardicore, $600 million in 2021, served as the cornerstone for their push into zero-trust security, bringing that best-in-class micro-segmentation tech critical for stopping ransomware spread. And then Neosec in 2023 and No Name Security for $450 million in 2024. That represents a strategic double down on API security, one of the fastest growing and most critical segments of the cybersecurity market right now. By combining these assets, Akamai has positioned itself as a market leader in protecting the burgeoning API economy. Now, the success of this whole M&A-driven strategy hinges entirely on Akamai's ability to effectively integrate these different technologies into a single, seamless platform and then leverage its global sales and marketing engine to scale them. If they're successful, Akamai will be able to offer customers a really unique single-vendor solution for edge delivery, comprehensive security, and distributed compute. That would be a powerful and highly differentiated value proposition in the market.
That's a lot of moving parts and definitely significant integration challenges ahead. And speaking of innovation beyond just integrating acquisitions, how is Akamai tackling the AI frontier? It seems like every single tech company is talking AI these days.
They are, and Akamai is actively innovating right at the intersection of its core network capabilities and its new compute services. A prime example is the launch of Akamai Cloud Inference, announced for March 2025. This new service is specifically designed to run AI inference workloads. That's the process of using a trained AI model to make predictions in real time, not the heavy lifting of training the model itself on Akamai's distributed cloud platform. And the company is making some pretty impressive claims for this solution. They're stating it can deliver 3 times better throughput at up to 86% lower cost compared to running the same inference workloads on traditional hyperscaler infrastructure.
86% lower cost. That's huge if true.
It's a huge claim. You'll see how it plays out. But this offering directly leverages Akamai's distributed network to solve critical cost and performance challenges in the rapidly expanding AI market. It demonstrates a clear path for future innovation that really plays to their unique distributed edge strength. It looks like smart, targeted innovation, not just jumping on the AI bandwagon.
Okay, with all this transformation happening, the leadership team and their overall plan are absolutely key. Who's actually at the helm steering this ship, and what's their track record in navigating these kinds of massive shifts?
Yeah, the stewardship of Akamai's complex strategic transformation rests with its very experienced management team. The company is led by co-founder and CEO, Dr. Tom Leighton. His deep technical expertise, he's an MIT professor originally, and his long tenure provides significant strategic continuity and credibility. He's been there since the beginning. Since taking the role of CEO back in 2012, Dr. Leighton has presided over a period of really significant evolution. Under his leadership, the company's revenue has more than doubled, growing from under $1.4 billion to nearly $4.0 billion in 2024. More critically, he has successfully orchestrated that pivot to security, growing that business from less than $25 million annually to over $2 billion during his tenure as CEO. That's a proven track record in navigating major technological and market shifts, and it's a key asset for the company right now. The executive team is supported by a board of directors composed of individuals with extensive and relevant experience in the technology sector, responsible for providing strategic oversight and guidance. It's that continuity of vision from Dr. Leighton, especially, that's quite rare in the tech world today.
And what about corporate governance? Are they ticking the right boxes there?
Yeah, in terms of corporate governance, Akamai seems to adhere to standard best practices. The company's board of directors maintains a majority of independent members, which is important for ensuring oversight is conducted in the best interests of all shareholders. The board has established several key committees.
audit, talent leadership compensation, and an ESG committee, environmental, social, governance, all of which are comprised solely of independent directors. The company's operations are guided by a formal set of corporate governance guidelines and a comprehensive code of business ethics, which together aim to promote a culture of accountability, transparency, and integrity. Pretty standard stuff, but executed properly.
Okay, and finally on this front, what about their capital allocation strategy? How are they deploying the cash they generate? Does it align with this big transformation story?
It seems clearly aligned, yes. The primary use of capital is definitely reinvestment back into the business to drive growth, with a very strong emphasis on strategic M&A. The significant acquisitions of Linode, Guardicore, and No Name Security in recent years are the clearest possible evidence of this priority. That's where the money's going first. Akamai does not currently pay a dividend. They choose instead to retain earnings for reinvestment, which makes sense given the transformation phase. However, the company has demonstrated a commitment to returning capital to shareholders through an active share repurchase program. Just in the first quarter of 2025 alone, for example, Akamai spent $500 million to repurchase 6.2 million shares of its stock. Such buybacks are typically done when management perceives the stock is trading below its intrinsic value, signaling their confidence in the company's long-term prospects.
So M&A first, then buybacks. What about debt?
Right. To finance its acquisition-led growth, Akamai has utilized the capital markets, particularly through issuing convertible senior notes. As we touched on, as of the latest data, the company's balance sheet carried total debt of $4.62 billion. This resulted in that debt-to-equity ratio of 1.01 and a debt-to-EBITDA ratio of 3.07. This represents a moderate level of leverage that, again, appears manageable given Akamai's strong and consistent free cash flow generation. It's a carefully managed balance, it seems, between investing for growth and maintaining financial prudence.
Okay, so they've got a strong hand in many ways, clear strategy, an experienced team, the financial capacity. But as we know, no transformation, especially one this ambitious, is without significant risks.
Why?
What are the major perils facing Akamai on this path? What are the things that probably keep management up at night?
Yeah, well, Akamai presents a really compelling transformation story. An investment in the company is definitely subject to a number of significant risks that could impede its growth and profitability. These risks really stem from the intensely competitive markets they play in, the inherent challenges of executing such a complex strategy, and their exposure to broader economic and technological shifts. First, you have to talk about intense competition and pricing pressure. Akamai faces truly formidable competition across all of its business segments. The primary long-term risk is, without doubt, the overwhelming scale, resources, and ecosystem power of AWS, Microsoft, and Google. These hyperscalers can aggressively bundle their cloud, security, and delivery services, creating significant pricing pressure and high customer switching costs. That could potentially cap the growth potential of Akamai's compute and security businesses, no matter how good the tech is. In the CDN and edge markets, those nimble and innovative competitors like Cloudflare and Fastly continue to challenge Akamai with modern architectures, developer-focused platforms, and disruptive pricing. And as Akamai expands deeper into cybersecurity, it increasingly competes head-to-head with established pure-play security vendors who might engage in aggressive price competition to defend their turf. So it's truly a fight on all fronts.
Okay, competition is fierce. What else?
Second, there's execution and integration risk. This ambitious strategy is just heavily dependent on their ability to execute flawlessly. It relies critically on the successful integration of several large and technologically complex acquisitions, Linode, Guardicore, No Name. A failure to create that seamless, unified platform they envision, or to realize the expected technological and go-to-market synergies from these deals, well, that would be a major strategic setback. Also, there's a significant challenge in just scaling the newer high-growth offerings in security and compute to a size where they can meaningfully offset the revenue decline from that large legacy delivery business. There's a real risk that these new segments, despite their high growth rates, might not reach sufficient scale quickly enough to re-accelerate the company's overall growth trajectory.
The timing issue again. Okay, third.
Third, customer concentration and legacy business decline. We've hit this before, but it's crucial. The legacy delivery business, while a source of cash, is also a source of risk due to its high exposure to its largest customers. The TikTok example from 2024 showed how a decision by a single major customer can lead to sudden and material revenue declines. Additionally, that secular decline of the traditional CDN market could potentially accelerate faster than anticipated, maybe due to new tech or more DIY efforts. That would put even more pressure on the company's overall financial performance than currently modeled.
Right. That legacy anchor could sink faster. Fourth risk.
Fourth, technological disruption and cybersecurity threats. As a tech company right at the heart of the internet, Akamai is constantly exposed to rapid technological change. There's a persistent risk that new network architectures, new security paradigms, or new edge computing approaches could emerge that render parts of Akamai's platform less competitive or maybe even obsolete over time. Furthermore, Akamai's own massive global network is itself a high-value target for sophisticated nation-state and criminal cyber attacks. A significant breach of their platform, that would be catastrophic. It would severely damage their reputation as a trusted security and infrastructure provider and undoubtedly lead to a major loss of customer confidence in business. Their whole business is built on trust and reliability.
That's a big one. And finally.
And finally, you have the broader economic and geopolitical risks. Akamai's global operations and its customers' spending patterns are sensitive to the macroeconomic environment. A global economic downturn or recession could lead to reduced corporate IT budgets. Since spending on CDN, security, and cloud services can often be seen as somewhat discretionary, this could result in slower growth for Akamai, delayed purchasing decisions, and increased pricing pressure from customers trying to cut costs. And operating in over 130 countries also exposes Akamai to a wide range of regulatory hurdles, geopolitical instability, and currency fluctuation risks in its key international markets. It's a truly global set of challenges they constantly have to navigate.
Those are definitely substantial risks to weigh against the opportunity. Okay, let's shift gears one last time to the market's current assessment of Akamai. What is their price tag, their valuation? Tell us about how the market views this really complex transformation story right now.
Yeah. The valuation of Akamai Technologies really reflects the market's ongoing assessment of this complex business transition. The company's shares currently trade at multiples that are more characteristic of a mature technology firm with, say, moderate growth. And that's a stark contrast to the premium, sometimes eye-watering, valuations awarded to its higher growth, often less profitable peers like Cloudflare. This valuation gap is really at the heart of the whole investment debate. Is Akamai an undervalued transformation story waiting to be recognized? Or is it appropriately priced, maybe even slightly overpriced, given the risks associated with its declining legacy business and the intense competition it faces in its growth markets?
Now, how does it stack up specifically against peers like Cloudflare or Fastly on key multiples?
Well, a comparative analysis gives a pretty clear snapshot. Akamai, which is profitable and generates strong cash flow, trades at a reasonable price-to-earnings PE ratio of about 26.8x. And interestingly, a very modest price-to-free cash flow, PFCF, multiple of just 13.8x. Its enterprise value to sales, EV sales, is around 3.7x, and EV to EBITDA is 13.2x. Now contrast that with Cloudflare. Despite being unprofitable on a GAAP basis, it commands an exceptionally high EV to sales multiple of 38.8x. That indicates the market is pricing in expectations of just massive future growth and eventual profitability.
38 times sales versus Akamai's 3.7. Big difference.
Huge difference. And then you have Fastly, also unprofitable, trading at a much lower EV to sales multiple of 2.6x, which likely reflects its own significant business challenges and slower growth. So what this tells us is Akamai's current valuation suggests the market is weighing the decline in its legacy business much more heavily than the growth potential, or maybe the certainty of that potential, in its newer security and compute segments.
And how does that valuation look compared to Akamai's own history?
That's another useful perspective. Placing Akamai's current valuation in historical context shows that over the past decade, its EV to revenue multiple has traded in a range with a low of about 3.22 and a high of 6.70. Its current multiple of roughly 3.7x is situated near the low end of that historical range. This suggests that, relative to its own history, the market sentiment towards the company is cautious right now. It likely reflects those uncertainties surrounding the strategic pivot and the challenging competitive landscape we've discussed.
Could you maybe think about it like some of the parts, valuing each piece separately?
Yeah, a theoretical sum of the parts, SOTP framework, is a common way analysts might try to look at a company like this. It involves assigning distinct valuation multiples to each of the three segments based on their respective growth profiles and profitability. So the delivery segment, with declining revenue but strong cash flow, might be valued like a mature, low-growth infrastructure business, maybe using a low single-digit EV sales multiple, or perhaps a multiple based on its free cash flow generation. The security segment, with its mid-teens growth and strong market position, could perhaps be valued more in line with publicly traded cybersecurity peers, which often command mid to high single-digit EV sales multiples. And the compute segment, with its 25% plus growth rate,
could potentially be valued against high-growth cloud infrastructure companies, maybe justifying a double-digit EV sales multiple, although likely with a discount for its smaller scale and competitive positioning versus the hyperscalers. The objective of doing this kind of framework would be to determine if the combined theoretical value of these individual parts adds up to something significantly greater than the company's current total enterprise value. If it does, it could suggest the market is undervaluing the growth potential embedded in security and compute.
And I suppose discounted cash flow model would try to capture that future potential too.
Exactly. A discounted cash flow, or DCF analysis, would attempt to model the company's future cash flows under various scenarios to derive an intrinsic value per share. You could imagine a base case scenario assuming a continuation of current trends. Mid-teens growth in security, maybe around 20% growth in compute, and a high single-digit annual decline in delivery, with overall margins staying stable or slightly improving over time. A bull case scenario would model an acceleration in security and compute growth, maybe driven by a really successful rollout of that Gecko edge compute platform and strong cross-selling synergies. It might also assume the delivery decline moderates and the shift in revenue mix leads to significant long-term margin expansion. Conversely, a bear case scenario would assume the delivery decline accelerates, perhaps due to major customer losses, and that growth in security and compute gets constrained by intense competition from hyperscalers, leading to market share limitations and sustained margin compression. It's really a spectrum of possibilities, and where you believe Akamai will ultimately land on that spectrum depends heavily on your conviction in their ability to execute this complex strategy against tough odds.
Okay, so we've broken down Akamai technologies from pretty much every angle. The strategy, the products, the competition, the financials, the risks. What's our concluding assessment of this company at a strategic crossroads? It's really a fascinating transformation story.
Well, Akamai Technologies definitely presents a complex and really nuanced investment case. There are credible arguments, as we've discussed, for both bullish and bearish outlooks. It's clearly no longer just a simple content delivery network. It's a multifaceted entity navigating a profound transformation into a diversified cybersecurity and cloud computing provider. The final assessment of its investment merits, I think, really hinges on your conviction, the listener's conviction, in management's ability to execute this very difficult pivot in the face of truly formidable competition. This isn't a simple buy or sell. It's a deep dive into a dynamic, ongoing situation.
Okay, so for those listeners leaning bullish, what's the core of their most compelling argument? Why buy into this story?
The bull case for Akamai is essentially that it represents an undervalued transformation story. This perspective argues the market is overly focused on the secular decline of the legacy delivery business and is consequently failing to assign appropriate value to the rapidly growing, potentially higher margin security and compute segments. According to this view, Akamai is successfully leveraging the substantial cash flows from its mature business to acquire and scale best-in-class technologies in structurally growing markets. Its most unique asset, that massively distributed global network, provides a durable and differentiated competitive advantage in an increasingly edge-centric world, especially as a cost-effective and lower latency alternative to the centralized cloud architectures. If management continues to execute its strategy successfully, the company could experience a re-acceleration of its overall revenue growth and a significant expansion of its operating margins as the business mix shifts favorably. Such an outcome would likely lead to a substantial re-rating of its valuation multiple, narrowing that gap with higher growth peers and unlocking significant value for shareholders.
And conversely, what's the heart of the bearish perspective? What are the biggest red flags for those who are more cautious or skeptical?
The bear case posits that Akamai could be a potential value trap. This argument contends that the decline in the highly profitable delivery business may actually be faster and more severe than currently anticipated, creating a significant financial headwind that the new segments, despite their impressive growth rates, may simply be unable to overcome in the medium term. Furthermore, the competitive landscapes in both cybersecurity and cloud computing are just exceptionally challenging. The immense scale, the deep enterprise relationships, the ecosystem advantages of the hyperscalers. These could ultimately cap Akamai's market share and profitability in these new ventures, no matter how good their niche strategy is. In this scenario, Akamai would struggle to achieve the growth rates needed to justify a higher valuation. The company could be caught in a prolonged period of modest overall growth and maybe even sustained margin pressure as it fights a difficult war on multiple fronts against better capitalized and more entrenched competitors. It's the risk of being perpetually stuck in the middle, neither a growth stock nor a stable value stock.
Okay, so for you, our listener who wants to track this story going forward, What are the absolute key metrics you should be monitoring closely to see which of these narratives the bull or the bear is actually unfolding in reality?
That's the critical takeaway. To validate which narrative is playing out, you should closely monitor several key performance indicators. First, and maybe most importantly, segment revenue growth rates. Is the combined growth of security and compute consistently and increasingly offsetting the rate of decline in delivery? That's the core math of the transformation. Second, annualized revenue run rate, or ARR, for new products. Are there fastest growing products, like the Guardicore platform and the API security solutions from NeoSecondname, hitting management's targets? This indicates strong market adoption. Third, cloud infrastructure enterprise revenue. How successful is the Linode-based compute platform proving to be in growing with actual enterprise customers, moving beyond its historical developer roots? That's key for scale. Fourth, consolidated operating margins, specifically non-GAAP. Is the business mix shift having the desired positive effect on profitability over time? Are the investments starting to pay off in terms of margin expansion? Fifth, free cash flow conversion.
Can they keep converting their earnings into strong free cash flow to fund strategic initiatives and share repurchases organically without needing to take on excessive debt? And finally, keep an eye on major customer announcements. Watch for any news regarding significant wins or, crucially, losses of large enterprise customers, particularly within that top tier of the legacy delivery segment. These will be highly material signals about the company's financial trajectory. These are really your compass points for navigating the Akamai story.
Akamai's journey, when you step back, is truly a microcosm of the internet's own ongoing evolution. As things like AI and real-time applications continue to demand instant responses, ultra-low latency, the physical location of computing power suddenly matters more than ever before. Does Akamai's bold bet on decentralization, leveraging that deep distributed network built over decades, ultimately prove to be the most valuable and defensible strategy for the future of the cloud? That's something to ponder as you navigate the digital landscape, because the internet itself is still transforming, and Akamai is right there at the forefront, trying very hard to shape its next chapter.